Let me just start in prayer. So would you bow with me and think of the Lord? O thou Most High, creator of the ends of the earth, governor of the universe, judge of all men, head of the church, savior of sinners, we bless thee for the words of salvation, how important, suitable, and encouraging these words are to our hearts and to our souls. We are lost, but in thee we are found. And we are weak, but in thee we find strength, and mighty. Poor, but in him we discover unsearchable riches. We thank thee for thy unspeakable gift of salvation. Let us as Christians feel our various situations in life, escape the snares to which they expose us, discharge the duties that arise from our circumstances, enjoy with moderation their advantages, improve with diligence their usefulness, and may every place and company we are in be benefited by us. Ooh, it's all dark out there. Okay, so good morning, everyone. So thankful that you are here today, and I love the worship. Thank you, Women's Ministry, for putting this event on. And as you know, my name is Dawn Walker, and I've been asked to give you my testimony or speak of God's grace in my life. So this morning, I'm going to give you a little slice of it, the last 5 years, basically. So in October 1980, a friend of mine by the name of Tom Walker took me to hear a faithful preacher who gave a clear gospel message. And from the time the message started, I felt like I was pinned to my seat. So in those days, they gave what they called an altar call. And there were many people that went down. Tom went down with me and helped me pray the sinner's prayer. And then he started discipling me. And for hours every day, I think that I listened to tapes at those times. You put them in a cassette player. 6 to 8 hours a day, I wore some out. And Tommy would come home to my home at that time. I lived with my mom at that time. And over bowls of Haagen-Dazs ice cream, I would bug him. What about this? What about this? And he would cross-reference scripture. I'd write it down the next day. That was the first thing I studied, then went on to study some more. So that's how we started our lives together. And approximately 4 months after we met, we were married. When I became a Christian, I knew that I was born a sinner, not of any one deed in my life, but because of the way I lived. I lived the way the world lived. I don't think it would glorify God to say what I was like before him, other than to say I lived the way the world did. So I was very thankful to be out of that world and to grow in his grace and knowledge. I repented of my sins and was baptized shortly thereafter. So even though I was in the Word a lot, I still craved. It was like a sponge that couldn't get enough of his Word. So you remember when you fell in love? Not only had I fallen in love with God, but I had also fallen in love with Tom, and I just wanted to spend time with him. So it was the same way with the Lord and in his Word. So in the first 3 months, I read the Bible from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. Not that I understood it all, but through that trial, God taught me that abide in him and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's what I really felt like. So we've been blessed to grow together in Christ and continue to have wonderful times in the Word daily and our love for one another. So our Lord is the example left to us to live in this world, because as Christians, we're sojourners, pilgrims, and we're not of this world because we look for a city whose foundation is built on God. In marriage, as a husband and wife, we are equally co-heirs of grace, or the same grace of life. This binds our hearts together and makes us one. We are blessed in the covenant of marriage as a little bit of heaven on earth. I know there are some marriages that are not that way, and I've counseled many women and not to look at your husband, but to who you are in God's Word and how you live your actions. If God is left out of our marriages, it comes an all-out war. Pride, self, selfishness, and unholy speech rears its ugly head. But in a Christ-centered marriage, when your husband bows and prays for you, it circumcises your heart, and your tenderness and your love for one another grows. And we know that our testimonies are for eternity. The unbelievers in our families and friends see us as different, and they begin to question as their lives erode around them, what makes us different, so we are able to share. Our children and grandchildren see that we are committed to our faith. They see and hear us pray. They see Tom and I touch each other and laugh. We laugh for joy because of our salvation, not necessarily because of the circumstances that we are living in at that time, but we know that God is in the midst of those circumstances with us, and He will get us through. We come out stronger knowing Him. He's allowed whatever it is in our lives, and we live to glorify Him. We seek to know Him and sanctify Him in our hearts. I know that some of you here know the Lord, but there are some here that do not know Him, and I would not now be a faithful servant of Him who appointed this time with you today to not fully explain what we are, who put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and what we are saved from. And as He promises in Hebrews 4, so today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing to the marrow and division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of your heart. So what are we saved from? The wrath of God. Matthew 13 says, the Son of Man will send forth His angel, and they will gather out of His kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing. If you break those verses down into its original language, He's saying that the suffering of hell will include the endless anger and frustration of those people who will forever feel both intense conviction for their damning sin and anger toward God. And people who reject God's grace and love will not feel remorse under His judgment. In fact, it will make them angrier. Yet God says in Lamentations 3, my mercies are new every morning. In Psalm 103, He says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. So, through His Word, the first thing God taught me was His grace, because while I was yet a sinner, He forgave me. I don't think I can not forgive anyone for anything, because He first forgave me. Next, He taught me I needed to forgive. When my mother and father divorced after 27 years of marriage, I lost contact with my father, which was on purpose. And in obedience to him, I needed to contact him. I wrote 3 letters. In the letters, I spoke of Tom and our marriage, gave him the gospel, but I didn't give him a phone number. So he wrote back, my dad, and said he wanted to see us, and we did. And at that time, even in his first letter, he asked me to forgive him. So Tom and Dad have had a great relationship. They both hunt. They both love knives. They go to the shooting range. They have a great relationship. And through all those times that we were able to spend with he and his wife at that time, there were many conversations of the gospel and what God was doing and working, how he was working in our lives. So Dee, his wife, died on November 28, 2007 from heart and cancer complications. So into our sanctuary, our home filled with love, tenderness, laughter, joy, studying the word, we brought an unbeliever, my father, to live with us. So when it pleased God to call my dad to himself, thankfully he responded. And at the age of 95, he was saved. We've been truly blessed to see this transformation in my father's life. And it's even changed his countenance. He prays and continues to grow daily in God's word. He has his own Bible, which was Tom's, I want to say junior high Bible. The pages are very thin, but it's never out of his sight, or he can reach right to it. And I clearly saw God's grace in this whole process of changing my father. But also for me, the power of prayer and never giving up, because we don't know, but we can pray. So for me, it was a blessing that I could attest to God's faithfulness and be in agreement in prayer for someone's salvation. And it's been a wonderful growing experience in my own walk with our Lord. So I want to encourage you in your walk. I want you to spend time with your first love. Blessed is the man who walks not in the path, path of sinners, or not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree firmly planted by rivers of waters, whose fruit bears in its time. And a leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The word will produce godly behavior and godly thinking. So be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. God says his word will not return to him void unless it accomplishes what he sent it forth to do. Certainly here we're all daughters, some sisters, aunties, wives, girlfriends, and some mothers, and some caregivers. We all have many roles to fulfill daily. Like I said, we are very thankful that you're here, and we've prayed for you these last months and your time here. Do you know when you leave here that you will be able to respond in a godly manner to situations that life throws at you daily? Do you have that assurance of God's word that it will recall immediately to your heart and your mind where God would want you to be and how to act? So he says to be diligent, to present yourself approved, and like newborn babies, we're to long for the milk of the word. We were made for relationships. Our first relationship is with God. After that, there are many people that fill our times and needs. And Jesus was a perfect example. Remember when he fought with Satan? He didn't really fight, but he answered only with the word of God. And that's how we live our lives, taking those challenges and by prayer with thanksgiving and sometimes specific prayer. Sometimes we don't know, but maybe we can tell someone is restless or hurting, or we know of a tragedy, a death, a passing. Maybe they didn't know that person was saved. We can pray, and God will be honored by that. And our attitude towards Scripture will determine our effectiveness as we live on this earth to fulfill the appointed times that God has given us. So I just want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind in the Word so that you know what the will of God is in your lives. And I know here and a lot of times now, I know we all know that we are accountable to God. But in this day and age, it seems like you want a friend, an accountability partner. There's small groups where you can be accountable. So if that is not all the time, if you see someone that you've studied their lives, you see how they God has worked in their lives, are their words edifying to you? Do you know that they pray? Do you see a response from them that shows that they walk with the Lord? Get together with that person. They can hold you to Scripture. You can do Bible studies together, be one-on-one. But that gives you the strength. And it's someone here that can hug you. There's hands and feet that come alongside and help. That's what we do in the body of Christ. This all makes the body of Christ, this church, strong. You want to affect the South Bay? Know the Word of God. Live it. Love it. Let's see. He says we're not to be anxious. I wanted to end in this because I love this card. In fact, I was very privileged to help publish this card. But God never intended us to live in defeat. We have joy in our salvation. His word gives us everything pertaining to life in godliness. There's nothing we need. So I would encourage you to do that. But this card says that we as believers are saved forever by grace through faith. We are forgiven, accepted, beloved of God, servants of the Most High God, new creatures, dead to sin, alive to God, walking in the newness of life, baptized into Christ Jesus, the temple of the Holy Spirit, clothed with Christ, holy and blameless, at peace with God. Christians, you are born again, partakers of the divine nature, empowered by God, children of promise, one in Him. We are the body of Christ, seated in heaven, kingdom citizens, a royal priesthood, we're vessels of honor, salt of the earth, light of the world, soldiers of Christ, fishers of men, ministers of reconciliation, victorious. So I say rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Thank you, ladies.